Hi, this is Dawn Cherie Wilkerson, and I pastor VOOC Church in Miami, Florida, and this is our podcast. I hope it encourages you. I hope that it inspires you. Let's check out the message.
Today, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. Whenever I was in high school, I used to love sports. How many sports fans in here? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Anybody do track? Yeah? Okay. So I did track, but here's a little funny thing about me. I did track, but I never ran a day of practice, okay? Like, I was not a runner. And I know some of y'all like get up in the morning, y'all run. That's never been me. Probably not ever gonna be me, but praise the Lord for you guys. That's awesome. I just don't like to run. And so I told the track coach, I was like super interested in the field event. So I was like, listen, let's strike a deal. I'll do any field event that you want me to do, but I'm not gonna run. And he was like, you know what? That's okay, let's see what you got. And so I ended up going out there and throwing the javelin. So random, chunking spears, but it was awesome. And that was my thing. I loved to throw a javelin. So our sophomore year of high school, I was just throwing javelin. Things were going pretty good. And it was looking like our track team was gonna make it to state. But before you get to state, you gotta get past regionals, right? So we were hosting the regionals event this year, and it was like this massive track event. It's the biggest track meet we've ever hosted at our school. And our coach came up to us 2 days before the meet, and he's like, look, guys, I think we're gonna make it to state, but we need every single person on this team to contribute every single ounce of everything you have in order for us to get to state, because everybody, the track is a really interesting sport. It's like everybody's individual points add up to your whole team, which is kind of like a message in itself, you know, it's like unity, but I'm actually not preaching on that, but it is cool. And so I was like, I'm like, yeah, we're all like in there. We're like, we're gonna do this, could be awesome. And he's like, all right, no, I need somebody to run the 2 mile. And I'm like, anybody else gonna rise up to the occasion? You know, like, yeah, I wish I could tell you that, like, the Spirit led me and I was like, I'll do it. But I did not do that. I was like hiding behind the fam, you know. And the coach yells out, he's like, nobody's gonna do it. And I'm like, come on, please, somebody just say it. And he's like, all right, Sadie, you're doing it. And we just started laughing, y'all. Like, everybody started laughing. I didn't just laugh, my team was laughing. I was like, ha, and the coach is like, what's so funny? And I'm like, oh, you're serious. I was like, coach, I've never ran 2 laps around this track. You expect me to run 8 to like 2 days from now? I'm like, I don't know about that. Well, 2 days later, there I am lined up, you know, getting ready. And I'm like, this is the worst idea ever. Like, who thought it? I'm like, am I even gonna make it, you know? And all these people are like, actually in middle school, that was the most embarrassing thing. And I'm the sophomore in high school. They're like 0.2 body fat freak of natures. And I am a panic attack on wheels. And I'm like, this is not good. And so I'm sitting there, I'm lined up, the gun shoots, you know, we're pacing, you know, cause like, I didn't know they were pacing. I was like pretty much running full speed, but like, they were pacing. So I'm like, this is good. You know, I'm in this race, you know? Well, about lap 3 rolls around, I'm not in this race anymore, but I'm steady. You know, I'm still cruising. Lap 6 comes around, and I remember this day like it was yesterday. I was coming around, and I look at the sun, and I'm like, now would be the time to come in on the clouds. Like, the Lord, just like right now, just end it now. Like, this is so embarrassing. I'm wheezing. I'm about to walk off this track. This is not good. So I'm getting ready to come around to do lap 7. And this is about when my worst nightmare comes flying around the track. I realize that I'm about to get overlapped. And I'm like, oh, that's so embarrassing. And it wasn't even, like, the embarrassing thing was not the fact that I was about to get overlapped. It was the fact that I was about to get overlapped by everybody. And so the revelation of that means that the 8th lap, I'm doing alone. Like, that means like I'm about to run this 8 lap by myself at the biggest track meet of our whole entire season, where everybody's there, where everybody's watching. It's the height of Duck Dynasty. Everybody knows who I am. This is so embarrassing. And so I'm like, okay, what are you teaching me, Lord? So, you know, they finished. I'm like clapping for them as I'm going for my last lap. Like, good job, guys. See you in a second. And I'm like literally walking at this point. And my coach is like, don't you stop running. Don't you stop running. So around the corner, and y'all, this is whenever this becomes amazing. Cause right before I'm about to do this last lap, like, I'm thinking of all like these scary thoughts. I'm like, Okay, first of all, this is mortifying. Second of all, I actually might pass out. I might throw up. I also might just get a pity clap from everybody, and that's just as embarrassing as them all. So I'm like, this is just bad. So I'm rounding it, and all of a sudden, I see my brother running down from the bleachers. He has a speaker in his hand, and he's playing It's the Heart of a Champion. Yes. Shout out to John Luke Robertson. He comes running down, and he runs the last lap with me. Like, isn't that amazing? Like, and so, but what happened when my brother came down, he's playing his heart to me, and the crowd, like, it's no pity clap, they erupt. They're like, yeah, it's the heart of a champion, you know? And like, me and John Lee run that last 100, and we're like, come on, everybody, let's give it up. We're like hopping down the last 100. I finished the 2 mile like this. Whew, there's a picture to prove it. It was awesome. And I tell you that story because I feel like God gave me such a specific thing to share with y'all today, and I've never shared anything like this before, but I feel like God was just saying, you know, somebody in here thinks that the race is over because their reputation is ruined, but it holds nothing on their redemption story that's about to happen. Nothing. Because the story of your redemption is going to far outlive the story of your reputation that you thought you once had. And so I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 5. Now, everybody just say it's about to get weird. Because this is one of the weirdest stories of the Bible. But it's so awesome. So it's basically Jesus is coming and he's about to heal this demon-possessed man. This man, he was demon-possessed, and it says that he was in this city, and he was just going wild. He was screaming out. He was slashing himself. I mean, it was just really, really bad situation. Well, Jesus shows up, and this man, he had an impure spirit in him. He ran to Jesus, and he fell on his knees, and he said, Jesus, Son of God, what do you have with me? And Jesus looked at him, and he said, impure spirit, come out. But then this is where it kind of gets weird because the impure spirit ends up going to the pigs and the pigs go and they drown. Super weird. But the point is something amazing was about to happen after this. In verse 14 is where we're going to pick up. It says, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there. Dressed and in his right mind, they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and also told him about the pigs as well. Then the people begged Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had once been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, go home to your own people. Everybody say, own people. Because that's important. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much mercy he had on you. So the man went away and began to beg and began to tell all the people in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. See, there is such a difference in telling your story in a way that makes you seem amazing and telling your story in a way that's going to amaze people. Like, such a difference. Because this is what happened in the story. That man, which we all face that thing. We all are like, oh man, get me out of here. Like, that seventh lap, I'm like, get me out of here. I do not want to take this pity clap. This man who was once demon-possessed, he's like, get me out of here. I don't want to have to go back to these people who have just watched me struggle, who have watched me be afraid, who have watched me scream out in agony. I don't want to do it, so let me just move on. And Jesus is like, no. Because what Jesus was seeing, and the reason why I believe Jesus felt okay to left is because he trusted him with his story. He's like, you know what? I'm not just leaving this town with everybody else to just like be like, whatever, like Jesus just healed one person. I'm leaving this town because I know I just came into a town and I touched the most desperate man in this town who had been screaming out, who made himself very known, and that man's redemption story is going to be enough to change the whole town itself. There's a difference between being known as amazing and amazing people. The word amazing, interesting, the word amazing is an adjective. And the word means to strikingly impress, to be strikingly impressive. The word amaze, it's a verb, and it means to fill with astonishment. And you see, sometimes where we get caught up is we have this story, right? And we have this story, we either have this story that we're gonna tell and we get to tell it in whatever way we wanna tell it. If we tell it in a way that we want us to look amazing, we might strikingly impress people. We might. But that's only to modify our story itself, right? To make it seem like a success story. But when you tell the story to amaze other people, to fill people with astonishment, you fill them with this action of, you know what? What makes this amazing is that I once was really struggling and now I'm made new, you know? And it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone who saw the story and the situation. Because what makes the whole point about the track story awesome is not my performance, let me tell you. But it's so important that you know about my performance, right? Because then when you hear about the redemption, that's what makes it so awesome. You see, it's amazing. It's amazing that this man is in his right mind and he's preaching about the gospel. But it's even more amazing that the day before he was demon-possessed. It's amazing that I can be able to stand up here with a microphone and share to you. But what amazes me is that I couldn't even read in class because I was so afraid. You know, like it's amazing that we serve a Jesus who's alive, but it's even more amazing that he was dead for 3 days. Like that's what amazes people. And, you know, I think about like this generation a lot. You know, I'm 21. I love Jesus with all my heart. I love this culture, people who love Jesus too. And, you know, we see how much of an exciting God he is. Like how many of you in here would say that like, we know we serve the God of miracles, yeah? Like we know that, but so many people don't know that. And I think about that. And I'm thinking, man, so many people in this generation, you know, they read the Bible and they're like, man, this is a miraculous God, right? But he's not still a miraculous God. And I think that sometimes it's because we only want to be seen on the other side of the miracle. And we forget to tell them about what makes it miraculous. Because I think that we are actually the walking evidence that he is a miraculous God. I can say myself, I am a miracle because I've seen things that were so dead in me that I thought were so filled with shame, that were so filled with fear, absolutely come alive and be able to be seen because the miraculous God that he is. It's the resurrection power of the cross. And I just think some people in here need to know that your race is not over. That you might think you're less than amazing, but something's about to amaze everybody in the room. Like, it's not over. And you need to know that, you know, the sixth lap, the seventh lap in my little track story, it's funny, right? It's funny that I was like dying and wheezing and like, ha. But it's not funny in real life, you know? The sixth and seventh lap, it's not funny. It's actually really, really hard. It's that moment when your legs are getting really heavy because shame is getting really heavy. It's that moment where like your chest is getting really tight because anxiety is very present. It's the real things actually in life that get really hard. And it's hard because they're actually very noticeable to the people around you, which fills you with embarrassment. It's a hard lap. It's a really hard lap. But if you're in that position right here, if you literally came in this morning and you were like, I don't even know what's about to happen, but oh my gosh, I'm on the seventh lap, you need to know that you're in the perfect position for your story to amaze people. You are literally one lap away, but you gotta keep running. And that was kind of the word today that I just want to remind you, you got to keep running. So you might be in here and you're like, okay, I need to keep running, but how do I keep running? Because I remember that day before my brother came and ran with me, my track coach was yelling at me and he was like, keep running, don't stop. And I'm like, you don't understand. I actually don't know how to keep running. Like my legs might not move. Like you might be in that position where you're like, okay, I hear you. I want to keep running, but how physically, when I'm right here in this position, how do I keep running? Well, let's give some biblical principles because the word activates things, right? So it's going to activate our movement. In Hebrews 12:1, it gives us this really, really awesome way to keep running. And I'm going to read it exactly because I want you to hear it for exactly what it is. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off anything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the agony of the cross. So right now, how do you keep running? Well, you got to throw off anything that hinders you. You got to throw off anything that's entangling you up. Any sin that you've been holding on to, you got to throw it off, because that's going to make the run a whole lot harder. If you're running and you got all this stuff on you, it's really hard to run, right? So let's identify what that is on you. You probably know it. It probably popped in your mind right now. We got to throw it off. Now, the other thing we gotta do is we gotta fix our eyes. We gotta take our eyes off the crowd of people, and we gotta fix our eyes on Jesus, right? The author and the perfecter of our faith. Because when Jesus, when he was enduring the humiliation and the agony of the cross, even Jesus went through a situation, that sixth and seventh lap, right? Where he was losing breath, when everybody saw him and he was once claiming that he was the Son of God and claiming that he, all these things, he's miraculous, he's all these things, he's now on the cross. But he fixed his eyes on what was gonna come. He fixed his eyes on what was ahead. You gotta fix your eyes. You gotta take it off. You gotta fix your eyes. You gotta keep running. How do you keep running? It says that if you just would put your trust in the Lord. Oh man, don't you love this verse? If you'll just put your trust in the Lord, man, you're gonna run and you're not even gonna grow weary. You're gonna walk and you're not gonna faint if you just trust the Lord. You don't have to even trust your ability to run. Thank God, because that seventh lap, I wasn't getting anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Just trust the Lord. You're gonna run. You're not gonna grow weary. Why do you keep running? Because I remember thinking this that day too. I was like, why do I even keep running? Because like everybody's done. I don't even run, right? Like I could just actually stop and we could just never talk about this again. But why do I keep running? Why do I finish when the winners are announced? Why do I finish when everybody's making fun of me? Why do I finish when nobody believes in me? Will you finish? Because the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. There's a purpose in your run. You may be sitting here right now and you're just like me. You're like, why? There are plans for you. And even though right now you might not feel like a runner, right now you might not feel like you're amazing, you need to know that before the foundation of the world began, he called you blameless in his sight. And then he proceeded to knit you together in your mother's womb. And for this time in history, right now, he breathed life into you. And you're saying, City, I'm going to be a miracle. Yes, you're going to be a miracle. How do I know that? Are you breathing? You're a miracle. Are you breathing? There's a purpose. If you're still breathing, even though it might be a really hard breath, there's a reason. Keep running and don't stop. You know, I was thinking about this just like yesterday, when I was preparing this message, I was like, you know, what if we stop running? What happens, you know? Like, what are we gonna miss? What are we gonna miss out on? Who's an example of this? And I'm gonna tell you somebody who almost stopped running. Moses. Moses almost stopped running on the seventh lap. He's actually the perfect example of this, because Moses was once known as amazing from the world standpoint, right? He was a prince of Egypt. That's amazing. But then he killed a man. Now he's a murderer. Oh no, now I'm a murderer. Now I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta get out of here. He was just gonna run. He was just gonna hide. He probably just planned to hide his life away. He almost stopped on the seventh lap before the Red Sea split, before he met with God on the mountain, before he led an entire generation out of slavery, he almost stopped running because he thought, oh, I'm known as a murderer, it's over. He almost stopped. But he was only one encounter away from his story becoming amazing. You are only one encounter away from your story becoming amazing. You're only one name away from everything about your story. Plot twist, it's amazing. One encounter. Moses is running, right? He just murdered a man. He's running. He's now, and he sees this bush burning, right? He sees a burning bush. And he looks, and I love the whole dynamic of what's about to happen. You know, we hear this story a lot, and we heard it as a child, but if you really think about the conversation between Moses and God, it's really hilarious, and it's really something we would all say probably, because God's like, Moses, Moses. And Moses is like, there's a bush burning. Here I am. And God's like, take your sandals off. You're walking on holy ground. And this conversation is about to happen. And when he's sitting there, I love what happens. God kind of lays out what he's wanting to ask Moses to do. He's like, I'm going to need you to go back to Egypt. And I'm going to need you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses is like, who am I? Who am I that I can go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let your people go? God, like, who am I? And isn't that what we do? We're like, who am I? No, 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 no. Those people know me as a murderer. I'm not going back. That's like that demon-possessed man. He's like, no, take me out of here. They know me as a demon-possessed man. I'm not going back. But God says, no, no, I want you to go back. Moses is like, how? Who am I? And God says, no, you're going to go back because I am going to go with you. You see, there might not be confidence in your run right now because you're alone, but the minute you have God running with you, there's a confidence that starts to come into play, right? That goes back to that verse your pastor was talking about the other day, Hebrews 10:35. So then do not forget the confident trust you have in the Lord, for that will be richly rewarded. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will be able to test and approve what God's good, perfect, and pleasing will is for your life. I don't have to be confident that I'm going to be able to make it along the last lap by myself, but I'm going to be confident and trusting in the Lord for what he's going to do because he's the one that's going to renew my strength. But Moses still, he's like, nope, not good enough. Why me? Why me? God, why me? What am I going to say to them when they see a murderer come back? What am I going to say? And God says, you tell them I am who I am. Because it really doesn't matter who you are. It really just matters who I am. And if I'm sending you, I've already considered who you are and I'm still calling you to go because I'm going to be with you. And that's what's going to amaze people. Get past that reputation. People aren't focused on your reputation at that point. They're focused on the Redeemer. When you let him be seen in your story, look, trust me, you're going to be overlooked in the best way. You should actually welcome being overlooked because it's the best thing for people to just catch a glimpse of who he is. You watch people light up. You watch people be filled with awe and astonishment and wonder. And then you're able to say, oh no, please don't get it wrong. Don't think it's anything because of who I am. It has everything to do with who the creator is of this universe. You know, I love how God comes to Moses, you know, because he calls him by name. You know, Moses, like I said, prince, known as a prince, amazing. Known as a murderer, gotta run. Known as Moses. He said, Moses, I'm gonna remind you of your name because if anybody knows the name Moses, the whole story is so beautiful. Moses was literally put into a basket whenever he was very young because Pharaoh had called for every one of those little babies to be killed. But Moses was put into a basket and the kingdom, like the people, the prince Pharaoh, they found him. And they named him Moses because they drew him out of the water. He was a miracle. And God's saying, you need to be reminded that you might have been known as a prince and you might have been known as a murderer, but I named you Moses because I had a purpose for your life when I made sure you were drawn out of that water for this time in history to lead your generation out of slavery. So do not stop running. It's not time to stop running. It's not time to stop running. Last thing, don't stop running because nobody believes in your run. You only need one person to believe that you have the ability to run. And it really might sound funny to you right now when I say that you only need your Father, God, to believe in you. You might be like, Sadie, that's such a church thing to say. No, 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 but I actually mean it. Because everybody I've talked about in this story, it started with just one person. That demon-possessed man, nobody was going up to him. Nobody was going up to him, but Jesus went and sat with him. Actually, when that man ran to him, Jesus sat with him and healed him and then was sitting with him when everybody saw it. And when everybody saw Jesus with that man, at first they were afraid, but because of the fruit that was coming out of that man's life and how that man was no longer screaming in fear and pain, but he was actually professing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they couldn't help but be amazed. It started with just Jesus, Moses. Before anybody was running with him, because he really ruined his reputation, God said, I'm going to go with you. started with God, right? Then it was Aaron. Then it was all the Israelites coming out of slavery. I think about my own story. I was so afraid. I was such a nervous person. My teachers used to literally ask my mom if I talked. Like, no joke. It's like literally scared of people. Weird. But that's what makes it so amazing now to me. What God does started with just me and God in my room reading the word. Then it comes to this, and that's what it's going to be for every one of you. Don't stop believing. Don't stop getting, you know, discouraged because nobody believes in you. You have to know that your God believes in you when he created you. I was in Mogadishu, Somalia last year. It was a really insane trip. I went with Bob Goff. Anybody know Bob? Bob's awesome. He's such a legend of faith, and I learned so much from him. He asked me to go to Mogadishu with him a week before we were going, and we went. And a week later, I'm in the Somalian water with all of these child soldiers who had just gotten rescued by Bob's team. And we're there, and there's this one kid, and he just had the most radiant smile. I mean, he was glowing. And so me and him surfed together all day, and we didn't speak hardly any of the same language. We had an interpreter every now and then. And so I began to ask him about his life, about his story, and told me his name. And then I said, what do you want to do with your life, you know? And he goes, I want to travel around Africa, and I want to tell them about Jesus. And I said, whoa, that's awesome. He's like, yeah. And I went up to Bob after. I said, who was that kid? I said, was he one of like the people who worked in the home? I didn't know anything about his story. And Bob said, him? Oh no, Sadie, 6 months ago, we had to get him out of prison because when he was 11 years old, he was a child soldier. He was in a terrorist group. He went through that for a little while. Then he went to prison whenever he was 15, and we were just able to get him out. He said, but it's been the hardest struggle with him until 6 months ago. He said, because every single day his dad would show up and he would say, don't let this kid out of prison. You don't know what he's gonna do to this nation. He's a terrorist. His own father would stand there and he would just say, there's no hope for him. His story's over. Keep him in prison. And every day Bob would show up and he would go, please have mercy on your son. Come on, please have mercy on your son. And then one day the dad shows up and the dad goes to the kid, I believe that you're gonna be different. And every day he started showing up and he started saying, I believe that you're gonna change. I believe that your story is not over yet. And his dad began to speak life into this kid. And that was only 6 months before I met him. And he told me that he wants to speak about the name of Jesus to all of Africa. But it took him knowing that my dad believes in me. So I'm gonna keep running. You might have came in here today and you were so scared to run that last lap alone. You were like right on the edge of it. Your legs were so heavy with shame. Your chest was so tight with anxiety. You didn't think anybody else believed in you, but I'm here to tell you, because my God believes in you, this family believes in you. Because my God believes in you, we, as a church, I'm claiming to be a church because this is the church, we're gonna run with you, right? You're in a place where you don't have to run alone. You're in a place where you really should not give up because I promise you it's about to get amazing and your story is about to amaze people, so keep running. We're gonna go into worship right now and then we're gonna have a moment where you can decide to keep running, but decide to run with God. Because I'm telling you, it's going to make everything about your run amazing. It's going to be awesome. I love you, church. I'm so thankful to be with you today, and I hope you're so encouraged and strengthened.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. Maybe consider rating the podcast and share it with a friend. It really makes all the difference. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to vuchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.